Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Great.
It's good to be back here again with you on Sunday, which happens to be Pentecost.
Woo! How exciting is that?
Yeah, I know.
I can hardly sit in my seat.
I see that.
Yeah, wow. Pentecost Sunday.
If this was TV, we'd have to...
Oh, yeah, if it was TV, they'd have to tie me down. They'd be bouncing around
still.
The room. And, yeah, it looked bad.
No, we don't want you sitting still.
Yeah.
No, we want to celebrate.
Sit still. Woo. Yeah, we may even get up and dance around. Who knows?
Right in the middle of the teaching.
Yes.
You never know.
Yeah, dancing on radio is kind of silly, though, because...
Nobody can see us.
Yeah. But, boy, what an awesome day. What an exciting day.
It is. It is.
Ooh, I hope you had an awesome Pentecost day at your church.
I did.
Ooh. Yes.
At both.
At both, yeah. Yeah. Wow, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the birthday of the church and the start of evangelization. And
that's what it's all about.
Ooh, it's empowerment of all those people in the upper room and, oh, wow.
Had to be a pretty incredible time to just hear that rushing wind and then these tons of fire coming everyone. And then.
Oh, yeah.
And then, they start proclaiming the mighty acts of God.
Yeah.
I mean, just uttering things about God and what he's done and what he's doing. And,
And quoting scriptures that they probably didn't know before and.
Yeah,
that they speaking in different tongues and people understanding what they were saying.
Yeah, people from different regions, from different language, you know, where there would be a barrier.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't understand the language. They all heard, they all understood in their own native tongue.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what is going on here?
Yeah.
What is this?
Yeah. Oof. Yeah, that's
so. Is that what we're going to talk about today?
We are.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Yes. We're going to be basically talking about Acts chapter 2. Although, of course, we have to do a little introduction.
That's true.
Because, you know, Pentecost, which is the Hebrew feast of Shavuot, because, well, first of all, let me say, a lot of Christians don't realize that the day we call Pentecost was one of the great feasts of Israel, one of the feasts of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of the pilgrimage feasts. And as we'll see later, all the men had to go to Jerusalem for Shavuot, for Pentecost. Mm-hmm. And so that's why all these people you mentioned were there.
Parthians and Greeks. And
yes. And all those people. And they were all in the city. And so when our friend Peter got filled with the Spirit and started preaching, he had a ready-made audience.
Yeah, exactly.
They all came rushing over when they heard this rushing wind and all this commotion and said, what's going on? We were just trying to sleep in and read the morning paper and have some coffee. And then we heard all this stuff going on.
Commotion, yeah.
Yeah. And then we come here and this guy's standing there talking and quoting from the prophet Joel. And so what's going on around here? And it was pretty amazing. And, as you probably know, it was originally a harvest feast for the wheat harvest, which was the big harvest. And of course, the harvest, since it's the birthday of the church, the harvest of souls begins. I mean, it was going on before, but now it begins with a lot more power and it begins spreading not only, you know, through the city, but through the whole area and then soon to the whole world.
Yeah. It's an amazing day because 9 days earlier, we talked about this last week. 9 days earlier, Jesus was standing there in their midst, and they're asking him, okay, Lord, so now, you know, this thing about restoring the kingdom of Israel, is that going to take place like now or like in the next couple hours?
Yeah.
And before you know it, he says it's not for you to worry about the times and seasons that God, you know, Father's established, but you're going to be my witnesses, and you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Not many days from now. Mm-hmm. So wait here in Jerusalem and pray. And then he's gone. And they're standing looking up at the sky, and these, you know, these two angels go, yo, why are you guys looking at the sky? So we talked about that last week. So what, you know, what transpires 9 days later is the Feast of Pentecost. Mm-hmm. Now, did they know that the Holy Spirit was going to fall upon them on that day?
No.
Probably not.
No.
But we know from, taking Phil's Torah study. That.
I just finished one Thursday night. You I always did. Get emotional when I finish one.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
All 33
Moses
chapters?
Dies, did the 33rd lesson.
Oh.
I was getting emotional.
You know? Oh, man. Bummer. And he couldn't enter the promised land. That was a bummer.
Yeah.
Well, he didn't know. He didn't obey. He made that one.
Well, he was just impatient.
To say the least. Not that we're not.
Yeah. I would have been hit the rock 5 times.
Probably. Probably 7. 7 times. So they're in the upper room. They're praying. And all of a sudden, they hear this mighty rushing wind. And these tongues descend upon them. Tongues of fire.
Mm-hmm.
And they're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're baptized into the Holy Spirit. They're immersed into the Holy Spirit. And they start uttering these mighty works of God in different languages, languages that they've probably never spoken before.
Mm-hmm.
And other people start to hear it. They hear the sound of the wind. So it had to be pretty loud.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all these people were in Jerusalem, so it's a feast.
The whole city.
And, you know, it's one of the feasts, as you said, it's one of the feasts that God established. But it's also, the feast that he chose to establish, the feast of when the Holy Spirit would come,
mm-hmm.
because it is a feast of the harvest.
Yes.
The big harvest.
Big harvest.
So the big harvest is it the wheat harvest?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the small harvest is the barley harvest?
Yes.
So Jesus rises on the Feast of First Fruits, which is the barley harvest, right?
Right.
So he is the first fruits of those who will rise from the dead.
Right.
And then at Pentecost, there's 3,000 people that were added that day because Peter got up there and was empowered by the Holy Spirit to proclaim the truth of God and Christ crucified.
Mm-hmm.
And the people are cut to the heart. And they ask him, what are we supposed to do? And Peter says,
repent
and be baptized. Mm-hmm. And they come into the church and they're filled with the Holy Spirit. I mean, think about that. The apostles in the upper room and the disciples, they receive the Holy Spirit. Peter says, repent and be baptized. They're baptized and they receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah.
What an outpouring.
Yeah. I mean, Steve and I have done a lot of Life in the Spirit seminars and we're happy if 20 or 30 people come.
Yeah. Well,
Peter got 3,000 people there.
3,000, yeah, the first Life of the Spirit seminar. So this was by far a much, much more of a contrast than when Moses had his little prayer meeting.
Oh, yeah.
When Moses had his prayer meeting.
Yeah, 72 guys.
72 guys, you know,
yeah.
And two of them were outside of the camp.
That's right.
Because they were late.
Yeah, they were still in the shower and they were waiting to go to church.
Hey, why are we prophesying? We weren't at church.
Yeah, boy. So, yeah. Late for the home group and that's what happens.
That's what happens. So how did I do? Did I get the extra credit on the
exam? You did.
Okay.
You did.
Okay.
You see, that's why Stephen did very well on the final.
So what should we read?
But it's interesting. Yeah, we're going to read the Acts chapter 2, but, last week we talked about and you just mentioned it again, when the disciples saw Jesus rising off the ground, ascending into heaven, they knew that it was time now for a different time of their ministry because he was now physically not on the scene like they had known him for the past 3 years. Mm-hmm. He said he was going to be with them, but he wasn't walking with them and talking with them and kind of hanging out with them and, you know, they weren't going for breakfast and they weren't going out for dessert after dinner and, you know, that kind of thing. But they had had this time with him where he was teaching. He was explaining the word to them. They saw signs and wonders. They saw his humanity as well as his divinity. They observed all these things. they heard him talking about the Father, and they heard him talking about the Spirit. And as we talked last week, and as you just alluded to, they really didn't understand what he was talking about or what they were going to experience. But now they're going to get into a totally different ministry power that they couldn't possibly have had before, because now they were going to get directly infused with the Spirit, who was then going to not only remind them of all the things that Jesus had said, and not only convict them of sin and convict them of what the truth was going to empower them to spread the word, the, you know, at that time, new evangelization, which we're still talking about new evangelization, because evangelization never should get old. But
true.
Now all of a sudden this new evangelization that was going to break out and wasn't just going to be in Jerusalem, but was going to eventually go to the ends of the earth. And again, as you mentioned a little while ago, of all the things Jesus told them before that, the only thing he told them at the time of the ascension was, wait here, don't do anything until the Spirit comes, basically. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah.
But it's just, don't try to do anything on your own. Don't leave the city. Don't go down to the street corner and start preaching, because you guys aren't going to be able to manage this. Just wait here until the promise of my Father comes. Wait for the Spirit. And it's in Jerusalem, of course. The atoning sacrifice of the cross was in Jerusalem. Now the Holy Spirit is going to fall on the, you talk about the early church. This was pretty much the whole church. It was in the upper room, 120 people. I mean, that would be sort of, you know, a small service nowadays in a church.
Yeah.
But that was the whole church at that time. And so yeah, in this room, when the Spirit falls on them, it has to be in Jerusalem, because the prophet Isaiah, who, of course, you all know is my favorite major prophet, in chapter 2 says, you know, the word goes forth from Jerusalem. The Spirit wasn't going to fall on them in Capernaum or in Nazareth. It had to be in Jerusalem, because that's where the word goes forth, and that's where evangelization went forth from Jerusalem. Because, you know, for those of you that have taken the Torah class in the past, you know that God always talks about things happen in the place where I put my name, the place where I choose to put my name. And Jerusalem is the city where he put his name, and the temple was there, the leadership was there, the center of worship was there, the place of sacrifice was there. And so just like the lambs had to be sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem, Yeshua, Jesus, could not have been crucified, say, in Nazareth or Jericho or Tiberias or some other place.
Right.
It had to be in Jerusalem, because this was the place.
Yeah. Well, it has to be fulfilled in Jerusalem, because the word of God goes forth from Jerusalem.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's the center of our spiritual life.
Woo.
If you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when as you're talking, and there's so much to talk about today, so we don't want to go. I don't want to go off on a tangent, because we can do that sometimes. You know, this is the promise that the Father, Jesus, tells them, wait here for the promise of the Father that you heard me speak about, and. You know, the center is Jerusalem. So this all, it all centers from Jerusalem. It's just the place, you know, it's the place that God chose. Jerusalem actually, if you go back to the Old Testament, was Salem. And when Melchizedek came and offered the non-bloody sacrifice of bread and wine, then the name of Salem was changed to Jerusalem. Jerusalem. So, see, I did take your Torah class.
Yes, you did. Now I'm sad my Torah class is over. We'll have to start a new one.
I should start an online one for all the listeners.
Yes. Well, it is going to go gradually online. So far, there's only, I think, the first 7 or 8 sessions on there. But
we got to get you up to speed on that.
Yeah.
So, you know, the word of God goes forth from Jerusalem. And Jesus tells them, you're going to be my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem, but throughout the whole region.
Yeah.
And beyond.
Beyond.
And...
Yeah. This was news to them.
Yeah. We're going to go to where? We're going to go to these. I mean, think about it. Would they have gone to any of these places, any of these Gentile places?
No.
Not even a chance, because they'd be defiled.
Yeah.
So Jesus tells them they're going to be his witnesses throughout the entire region. Mm-hmm. And they're going to proclaim the gospel. They're going to proclaim that there's forgiveness of sins in the name of Yeshua. And then they're going to baptize people in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And they're going to receive power. So in the early church, when you were baptized, it wasn't broken up as it is today in some churches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't have one, you don't receive one portion of it here, one portion of it there. It was all at once. When they were baptized, they got, as Peter says, when Cornelius was baptized, it was just as it was at Pentecost.
Yes.
The same outpouring.
Same outpouring we received.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that's so critically important for people to understand, is that God showed no partiality in pouring out his Spirit upon the Gentiles.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't show any partiality in pouring out his Spirit upon the Jews.
Yeah.
He poured out his Spirit in full measure upon both, because Jesus had accomplished, he had finished his work on earth, and it was time for the Holy Spirit to come, so that the Holy Spirit is going to remind us of all that he taught us. The Holy Spirit is going to lead us in all truth. And, you know, when you speak truth to somebody, funny thing is, sometimes they don't accept it.
Yeah, imagine that.
It happens once in a while. But the Holy Spirit speaks truth to us. The Holy Spirit just doesn't say, Steve, you're a good guy. Everything you're doing is A-OK. Don't change a thing. That would be nice.
I wish everyone was as awesome as you are.
Yeah. Have you heard that? No. So, no, the Holy Spirit tells us truth, and sometimes that truth convicts us. It convicts our heart that I'm really not in union with God as much as I should be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, God wants to, I hear music. God wants to walk with us as he did with Adam and Eve in the garden. He wants that closeness. He wants that union with us.
Yes. The intimacy was broken by sin, but now is restored.
Yeah.
Woo. The break already. Remember, check out giftsofgraceministries.org. We'll be right back.
Spirit of the Sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known. Reveal the glory of the living. Spirit of the Son.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
That's an awesome song.
That's, I love that song.
That's Paul Wilbur.
Right? It is Paul Wilbur. Oh,
got it right.
Woo!
Are we going to sing that at One and Messiah? Oh, we are going to sing
could.
That.
We could. Maybe I'll sing it.
You should.
I should. Or maybe I could just put Paul Wilbur on and I could just lip sync.
Oh, no, don't do that.
Yeah, come and I on. Could, like, pretend I was singing.
Oh, gosh. Well, you're becoming a real musician now. You're...
Yeah. It would remind me of the old days when I used to see these rock musicians on these various TV shows, and we always wondered, were they really singing or were they just lip-syncing along with their record?
You have to wonder sometimes, because some of it sounded pretty darn close.
Yeah. Of course, now with all the electronic music that there is, you can pretty much tell if somebody's really singing or not.
Yeah, that's true. But well, they used to do the fade out, and then that'd be a dead giveaway. There was a track.
So before the break, you were, I don't think, quite finished with a point, but
yeah,
we have to get to the reading eventually.
Let's get. You know what? Yeah, I was gonna give a point, but why don't we do the reading?
Yeah,
and then we'll get back to it.
It's in Acts chapter 2.
Do I have an Acts chapter 2?
Is there anything about Pentecost in the Bible? Oh, yeah. Acts chapter 2.
Oh, there it is. Acts chapter 2.
I always think about the person who said on the radio that everybody calls it the book of Acts, like it's AX. But actually, it's Acts.
Book of Acts. Acts.
Acts.
Acts. Acts. A-C-T-S.
A-C-T-S. You'll find it... You'll find it right after John's Gospel, mm-hmm. written by Dr. Luke. So he gives us an awesome account of what happened Pentecost morning. Woo!
And it's right before the Book of Romans.
He probably was there.
He probably was. Probably was. All right.
Anyway.
So let me start reading it, beginning of chapter 2. The coming of the Spirit. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind. And it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judah, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia, and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, yet we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered, and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others said, scoffing, "They have had too much new wine."
Now, why don't you pause there? That's good. I like that. I love that line. There's always scoffers.
There's always scoffers. You know what really amazes me here is the list of different nations that are there.
Yes.
A gathering of the nations.
And you notice it says they're devout Jews from all these places.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a pilgrimage feast, Shavuot. Mm-hmm. And interestingly, it starts with the first line. When the time of Pentecost had fully come, most translations say. And fully come means... You counted 49 days since, well, roughly Passover, actually the Sabbath after Passover. And then the 50th day was Pentecost.
Yeah, that's the Omer, right?
Right, that's the Omer, which, you know, I don't have to count anymore now.
I know you weren't counting this year. I'm disappointed.
I kept forgetting. Instead of 50 days, I had like 8.
You're relying on that paper calendar too much now.
I kept looking at my phone.
Oh, jeez.
So,
kind of get back to basics.
When, you know, when you counted the Omer, I mean, people kept track by actually counting the days.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why the text, and Dr. Luke, of course, would know this, and that's why the text says when the time had fully come. So the counting was over. Mm-hmm. It was the 50th day. We used the Greek word Pentecost. And so it was the first, it was the Feast of Weeks. And interestingly, too, it was the first day of the week. So again, the first day of the week, Sunday, mm-hmm. is blessed, honored, whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. You have the resurrection on a Sunday.
Yeah.
Which then came to be known as the Lord's Day.
Yeah.
And, some people still call it the Lord's Day. Some right. people call it the Sabbath day.
Sounds like God was setting a trend.
Yeah. And then Jesus appears in the upper room on two successive Sundays. Mm-hmm. And now the Holy Spirit falls in the upper room on a Sunday morning. Mm-hmm. In fact, he even wants us to know what time he came. He said it was about 9 o'clock in the morning. It's one of the few biblical events that tells you what time it was when it happened.
Yeah, that and 4 o'clock when
that's right.
they encountered Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. And so on the first day of the week is actually the birth of the church in this powerful setting that you just read, with these manifestations of the Spirit, which at this point are wind and fire.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it's water, too, is a symbol, but wind and fire, this is a mighty rushing wind. People heard it all over the city. Tongues of fire individually came on each person in the upper room. And as you just pointed out, everyone in the upper room was baptized in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, many of you who are listening have experienced the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Stephen and I have experienced that. And I don't think there were tongues of fire over our head, but the same thing basically happened
without
the rushing wind and the fire. We still got filled with the Spirit, still got gifts, mm-hmm. still had our minds open to things.
Yeah.
Still had metanoia, change of mind.
Totally.
Still had our hearts open to what the Lord wanted you to do. People who are baptized in the Spirit are radically changed whether they see the tongues of fire or not.
Mm-hmm.
Although this would have been pretty cool.
That would have been pretty cool. the things of God become almost plainly evident to you.
Yes.
Things that you didn't see before, you recognize. Things that you never thought of before, you hear and recognize and you see. And it's pretty incredible just the movement of the Holy Spirit. But the other thing that I'm thinking about as you're talking is that, Jesus established the new and eternal covenant in his own blood.
Mm-hmm.
So he is the acceptable sacrifice to the Father. He's the atonement for our sins. And now after that happens, this coming of the Holy Spirit is part of the new covenant.
Yes, exactly.
It's part of the new covenant. Mm-hmm. It's a fulfillment of, it's really a fulfillment of God's plan.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. And you have the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, and now you have the empowerment of the people that are going to be involved.
Yeah.
And you have that gospel, that word, that good news spreading from this point.
Mm-hmm.
It starts literally at one point, which is the upper room.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't start, interestingly, there's not a group of believers in Nazareth and a group of believers in Capernaum and a group of believers in Jerusalem and a group of believers in Caesarea or somewhere. They're just in one place.
Yeah.
The point starts, as we said, from Isaiah chapter 2. And what leads up to this is people, they are praying in one accord without division.
They all fit into an accord?
They all fit into an accord. Well, it's bus-like thing.
Oh, okay.
But they were praying without division.
Yes.
Without bickering with each other, without disagreeing about what they were going to have for dinner or what prayer they should say or
how many meetings they should have.
Yeah. Yeah. And once in a while,
how many subcommittees should we have?
Yeah. Once in a while, one of them would take out a guitar and they'd start singing a song and somebody would say, "Hey, wait a minute. I'm sick of that song. Let's sing something else." No, it was, everybody agreed. It was people praying, accord means from your heart. People praying with one heart.
Mm-hmm.
As Jesus had instructed them.
Right.
They were waiting. They knew something was going to happen. And this goes back to Psalm 133, which It's one of my favorite psalms. And leads to the song that we know of as Hinei Mah Tov. So it's you know, it's wonderful for brothers to dwell together. I mean, and sisters too. But, you know, Psalm 133 is about unity and what happens when there is unity. So what's our situation, you know, today? We have, you know, I don't know, 28,000 denominations or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then within each denomination, there's 7 or 8 sub-denominations. And then within those, there's different. I mean, it's just unbelievable how fractionated the body is.
Yeah, that's not the work of the Holy Spirit.
No, it's not. The Holy Spirit does not produce division.
No.
Does not produce division. And that's, I think, you know, in the 20th century, we saw an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in a way not matched since the first century, for sure.
Right.
And the Pentecostal charismatic movements affected every single denomination.
Yeah.
I don't think there was a denomination that wasn't touched by it.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, when people talk about, well, who started your movement? Who's the leader of it? God is.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you can't point it down to one person that said, oh, I'm going to start doing this.
No.
It doesn't work like that.
No.
It's not, you know, somebody decided they didn't believe the pastor and they wanted to start their own church because they had a disagreement. The Holy Spirit came, they were infilled, and they started proclaiming about the mighty works of God.
And that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well put. Yeah. And unfortunately we have these divisions, but because we have divisions and we don't agree on many points together, we still should in a united way be praying for the Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, to fill us so that even though we have these sad divisions, we still can be empowered by the Spirit. The Spirit can still use people. And I'm sure all of you have experienced somebody from Church A and somebody from Church W and somebody from Church Z all saying the same thing that have been inspired by the Spirit. The Spirit can still, of course, work through all this division, but it would really be nice if everybody was praying in one accord.
Yeah, it would be. Well, you bring up a good point, and that is, you know, the mercy and the grace of God is so great, and He wants so much for us to be reconciled with Him and to be forgiven and to be set free.
Yes.
That God, you know, and I've seen this many times in ministry, God moves in ministry even though there might be something going on with the people that are ministering that, because God's mercy and love is greater than those things.
Yeah.
And Jesus has already conquered sin and death. So it doesn't mean that you can go and do anything you want. Those people the people that are doing the ministry still are accountable to God, but the love for that person that God wants to minister to is great.
Mm-hmm.
And just because the person that He chooses, the imperfect vessel that He chooses to use at that point in time, I might think, or you might think, man, what a schmuck.
Yeah.
God is looking at that other person that He wants to minister to and set free and chooses to use that imperfect vessel.
Yeah. As you're saying that, it reminded me of a personal story. I won't mention the church or the person, but I went to a church for the first time some years ago. I was a new believer, and they were meeting at a school, and I sat there looking around, and I was trying to figure out who the pastor was.
Mm-hmm.
And then this kind of goofy-looking guy gets up, and he's got on a pair of jeans and a flannel shirt and some sandals, and he goes, well, I got a few announcements to make. And I thought, oh, okay, this guy's giving the announcements. And then he goes, okay, now, last week we left off, and I thought, oh, no, this guy's the pastor. Like, I can't believe this guy's the pastor. I mean, he's wearing jeans and a flannel shirt and sandals. And about 30 seconds later, I was looking for paper so I could write down what he was saying,
oh, wow,
because it was awesome. But But the Holy Spirit taught me a lesson.
Oh.
I mean, don't look at this as a goofy guy wearing jeans and flannel shirt and sandals.
Yeah.
This guy's about to say something awesome.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Well, I mean, we all do that. It's easy to do. You know, you think, oh, come on. That person? Seriously?
You don't have to have on a suit, or you don't have to have on certain vestments, or you don't have to have, you know, certain background.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit can speak through anybody.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Well, you know, and it goes to what you're saying about, you know, sad divisions, because a lot of times we're not really listening to what God's trying to tell us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we kind of get ahead of God, just like Peter got ahead of Jesus a few times, mm-hmm. and Jesus had to kind of put him back in the right place, Peter. And I think we do the same thing. Probably more often than we'd like to admit, but we can get ahead of the Lord, and then when we're confronted with or challenged with something that doesn't meet our preformed or configured idea, we can go, hey, wait a minute, that's not that can't be from the Lord.
Yeah, that's not how we do things around here.
Right, and so it's a challenge. It is a challenge in ministry, because everybody, I think, their heart can be in the right place and they want to serve the Lord, but being that having that docility to really allow the Lord to move and work it's a messy business.
I was thinking last night, or not last night, a few nights ago, when we were joking about finishing another Torah class. You know, in the very last part of Deuteronomy, it says, you know, Moses is dead. So God says, you know, Moses is dead. Joshua's the leader now.
Mm-hmm.
So I was reading that, you know, and I've read that a lot of times, and I've taught from it a lot of times. But what dawned on me when I was teaching from it this last time was, okay, Moses and all the stuff he did is done now. Joshua's the leader now. Something new is starting. So, you know, don't be looking back going, oh, man, you know, 20 years ago when we were hanging with Moses and we were doing all that. Well, that part of salvation history is over now. So now we're here with Joshua and the next chapter.
A new chapter, That's very good.
And you have so many people in different ministries going, hey, you know what? This is how we've always done things here. It's a break again. Oh, this is the song we were talking about.
Yeah.
Let's listen to this. Remember, check out GetThroughGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Unity in unity.
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220.
Put your banner back.
Okay, yeah, oh, wait.
Sorry.
I catch my breath. You're running around those little studios. Kind of tiring.
Got to put our banners back.
Keep running into chairs and stuff.
We should do a teaching about the banners.
Oh,
well, this is a
it.
Good teaching about the banner because we're under the banner of Christ.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let's do the banners. Maybe we'll do that next couple of weeks. No, we'll still be doing Pentecost shows.
From here till eternity.
So interestingly, you know, the fire comes, wind and the fire both come suddenly. You know, the word goes to make sure we understand it came suddenly. They didn't know the Holy Spirit was coming at 9 o'clock. Or, you know, at 8:55, there wasn't like some sort of preliminary noise going on. It was suddenly happened.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, when you least, you know, it can be a time when you're not expecting it. I was driving over 480 one day, and the last thing I expected was to start thinking about what the gospel was, because all I wanted to do was go to work and get my work done.
Yeah.
But, you know, you don't know when the Holy Spirit's going to intercede. And here it comes suddenly. And with the light that comes, the fire that comes, not only brings light and it lightens up each of these people's heart because each of them got a tongue of flame, but, you know, the fire burns up impurities.
Yes.
Kindles other fires.
Yes.
And it melts your heart when you're really filled with fire and you realize, whoa.
That's something that we don't think about. What is fire used for?
Yeah.
We just think it's used to destroy things. You know, you get a forest fire, you get a house fire, something like that. But really a fire burns out impurities.
Yes.
It, you know, if you boil water, you're boiling out the impurities.
Mm-hmm.
If you heat up any alloy, it burns out the impurities of it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the streets of gold in heaven will be like see-through, because there will be no impurities in it.
Yeah.
So,
I'm going to have a really cool house.
Yeah. oh gosh, I was going to say something. I forgot. But anyway, the fire of the Spirit does. It burns out the impurities so that we can be made in the image and likeness of Christ.
Yes.
So that we can be purified for Him. You know, God wants to purify us with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, the Holy Spirit gives new life. He breathes new life into us.
Mm-hmm.
And we're made anew.
Yeah.
And we have to take off the old self and put on the new person, because we're a new creation in Christ.
Mm-hmm.
If I hang on to my old thoughts and habits, my old ways of doing things, I'm going to fall back into the same things that I would fall into before I encountered Christ.
Absolutely.
And if I think that's not going to happen, that's really not too logical. But it is true that we have to be willing to change. We have to be willing to let the Lord prune us. And part of that pruning process is to let the fire of the Holy Spirit consume the impurities that are within us from sin and tendencies towards sin to become a new creation in and through Christ.
And I think the best example that's used many times in the Bible goes back to earth science. You know, when you find gold somewhere or silver somewhere, you don't start digging in the dirt and all of a sudden there's gold, you know, this beautiful gold thing is. No, it's in an ore that's mixed up with all kind of other stuff.
Yeah.
All kind of things that are useless and worthless.
Unless you were in California in the 1840s.
In 1840. Yeah. But you have the beautiful gold, which is so precious and costly, but it's surrounded by worthless stuff.
Yeah.
And the way you separate them is you put them in the fire.
Mm-hmm.
And the worthless stuff burns away.
Yep.
The gold liquefies and out comes this beautiful liquid gold, which then hardens into beautiful solid gold.
Yeah.
And if you do that a few times, you get perfect gold with very, very little impurities, as you were talking about. But the burning up process isn't always pleasant. It's kind of like being pruned.
Pruning can be difficult, but burning, that singes,
it's pretty tough.
It is. It's pretty tough.
And it's, it's, It kind of reminds me too that, you know, in 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about how we're clay vessels, but we have glory inside of us.
Yeah.
You know, the glory, even in gold ore, you have this beautiful thing that's so precious inside of all this muck. You know, kind of like we are,
yeah.
But you got to get rid of the muck. You got to get rid of the stuff that you normally do. You got to get rid of the stuff the way you've always lived. You got to get rid of the stuff that draws you to sin. You got to get rid of the stuff that, you know, takes you off course. And it's not all like horrible, you know, sin. A lot of it is just common everyday habits that take you away.
Yeah. And that's one of the most challenging things for people that have grown up in a church and they're accustomed to doing things a certain way.
Yeah.
They can easily sometimes fall asleep and get complacent in their in their relationship with the Lord and even fall away and not even realize that they're somewhat fallen away. Because they've done things a certain way and they think, well, I know the Lord. I think we talked a couple times, it's more than just knowing about or that believing that God exists. It's encountering him and having a personal relationship with him.
It's not just intellectual knowledge.
Right. Yeah, it's not. It's much more than that. It's having an intimate relationship with him.
Yeah.
It's not just having an intimate relationship with his brain. You know?
Yes, exactly.
It's about having an intimate relationship with his heart.
Mm-hmm. And this is why so many times in the Bible, he talks about, adultery and harlotry and, you know, Israel's been a harlot with these other gods and Israel's been unfaithful because there's the paradigm of marriage that's part of the relationship. The church is the bride of Christ.
Yeah.
So if you go chasing other things, you know, you're just like a spouse who says, oh, you know, I like my spouse, but I like her a lot better over there. So I think I'm going to go over there and, you know, stay with her for a while. I mean, it's unfaithfulness.
Yeah.
But in this case, God says, you know, you want to go run after these other gods and these other things? That breaks our relationship.
Yeah.
And these kind of things have to be taken away from us. And because each person got a tongue of flame, each person got an individual gift. You know, Paul says, you know, we're not all prophets, we're not all teachers, we're not all, you know, all these things he mentions. Everybody has an individual gift. We're not all music ministers. Yeah. I mean, like me, I'm a music minister, but not everybody is. And, you know, in Ephesians 4, it says and then in Ephesians 4, it says all these gifts are used to build up the body. I mean, if everybody was a music minister, you'd have great music, but then it would be, or if everybody was a teacher, you'd have great teaching, but you wouldn't have anything else.
Wow.
So all That's these true. Things build up the body, and this is a Holy Spirit ministry.
Now, what if I want the gift that you have?
I think you could have more than one gift, but do I have to take guitar lessons? I don't want to do that.
Oh, man. Yeah, see if you got that gift. Let's go on.
Can I just supernaturally know how to play the guitar?
You got that McPherson that plays itself. Come on.
Yeah, but imagine these guys, when they walked out of that upper room that morning to go on to what they were going to do, they suddenly understood everything that had happened before that point.
I don't think they were expecting that.
No.
Before 9 o'clock in the morning.
No.
You know?
Woo.
Going to be here go ahead.
I can't believe it's over.
It is.
Well, I hope you had an awesome Pentecost Sunday.
And I was going to say, they probably thought it was just going to be another day of prayer, but it was a whole lot more. Well, we just pray that as the apostles and the disciples in the upper room received the gift of the Holy Spirit on this day of Pentecost, and the church was being fulfilled, that you too would receive the gift of the Holy Spirit this day at Pentecost. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.